The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Thanks, you're at once. Okay, here we go. So welcome. Welcome, everybody. It's wonderful to see you all. Glad you were able to make it. And today I wanted to just talk a little bit about this idea of having a particular mindset that is a way in which an orientation and a stance, but sometimes our mindsets are not even known to us. They're like really deep. They're underlying so many of our activities or our way we interpret things and view of the world and view of ourselves. And in particular, something that's had some research lately is this idea of whether to have a growth mindset or a fixed mindset. We can think of fixed and growth as two ends on the end of a spectrum. There's a lot of the space in between here. But what this refers to is whether you believe abilities and talents that we all have, whether you think they are fixed, immutable, something that we were born with, or whether you think they are changeable, things that can be developed and cultivated. And so when people have a fixed mindset and they think that, okay, this is, you know, what my talents are this, and there's nothing I can do about it, so I don't need to practice or learn, or I can't increase my capacities. When you have that type of a mindset, you tend to be more concerned with being judged and scrutinized or evaluated, and feel like you're always being tested and that you have to prove yourself in some kind of way. But if you have a growth mindset, you tend to believe that the abilities can be developed and strengthened, and you just need to have some effort, you just need to add maybe some persistence or some effort, and things can be expanded. Chances are that if you are here, where we're talking about the cultivation of love and kindness, that you have a growth mindset. Chances are. But having a growth mindset doesn't involve believing that anyone can become anything, just as long as they apply themselves and work hard enough and get educated correctly. It's more about having the possibility of living up to one's potential, that it's possible to live our potential and to not even know what our potential is, and that we're kind of continually exploring and discovering this. Maybe kind of like pushing the boundaries of what we think our potentials are, our potential is. And having a growth mindset also has this orientation or response of, rather than seeing difficulties or mistakes, just flat out mistakes, as rather than considering them as debilitating setbacks that are horrifying and must be avoided at all costs. Instead, with a growth mindset, you tend to see difficulties or even just mistakes as proof of progress. I like this. I heard this from somebody, and I kind of liked this idea that mistakes, we consider them as mile markers on the highway, that you only see them when you're moving forward. And I kind of like that idea, that when we're kind of expanding our capacities is when we bump up against what we do know or what we don't know. So with this growth mindset, there you have this more willingness to try new things and make errors or make mistakes, because it's all in the name of learning and achieving potential. So is there a way that we can use this growth mindset, this idea that we're just exploring our potential and that making mistakes or encountering difficulties is just part of growing? It's just part of reaching our potential. And can we use that as a stance, as an approach to bring to our meditation practice, whether it's a mindfulness practice or a loving kindness practice. If we're doing whichever meditation practice, if we have an object, if we're doing mindfulness and we find ourselves completely lost, or we're doing loving kindness meditation and we find ourselves completely lost in thoughts, can we just recognize, oh, okay, this is just part of what the deal is. This is what it means to be a person who is developing skills, who is developing capacities. So it can reframe the way that we think about our experiences and any difficulties or, I don't know, with meditation, I don't want to use the word mistakes, but maybe some difficulties that we might have. And then maybe I'll also invite this reflection that, so, okay, so we have, I'm assuming that most people that are cultivating loving kindness believe that they can cultivate things, but just a gentle inquiry, are there areas of your life in which you have this more of a fixed mindset? I can't do that. I can't do that. That's too hard for me. No, maybe other people can, and I can't do that. Are there some areas in which maybe there could be less of a fixed and more of a growth, more of an idea of like, okay, I can't do that, maybe because I haven't been trained, I haven't been practiced, I haven't been exposed to teachers to help me, it hasn't been an interest of mine, I never really had it as a priority, or, you know, different ways to consider this as opposed to, I can't do that. Are there certain ways in which we have this idea about ourselves? Can we reframe it? And that, can we have this shift along the spectrum towards a growth mindset, towards all areas of our lives? And in this way, we can get unstuck wherever we might feel like we're stuck or might feel some expansion or potential or growth, dare I say, in all areas of our life. So in this way, a meditation practice, specifically practicing it, of course, will support, cultivate, develop whatever meditation practice we're doing. But also just the fact of seeing this development, maybe it can grow into the little nooks and crannies of our inner life. I'm always a sad person. I'll never not be a sad person. Or I'm always an angry person. Or whatever we might have. So meditation practice in this way can help us with not only with meditation, but just gaining some confidence and experience of, oh yeah, there's all kinds of things in our inner life, in our thoughts, our beliefs that can shift. Okay, so with that as an introduction, let's do some meditation practice. So we'll take an alert, upright posture. And settling in to the experience of sitting. Just feeling into the moment, what it feels like to just be sitting here now. Kind of to finish arriving in some kind of way. feeling the pressure of the chair or cushion against the body. Feeling the body breathing. Just connecting with the movement in the chest or the belly. Maybe the feeling of air going in and out of the nose. Just feeling the experience of breathing right now. Connecting with an in-breath. What does it feel like to have an inhale? What does it feel like to have an exhale? We don't have to make it complicated. Just here with the sensations of breathing. And when we find ourselves lost in thought, that's just a mile marker along the highway. Like, oh yeah, I'm meditating. This is what it's like to meditate. We just very simply, gently, warm-heartedly begin again with the sensations of breathing. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, we'll begin where it's easy to bring to mind a lovable being, someone for whom it's uncomplicated, simple, to feel warm-heartedness, care, respect. This might be somebody that you know, or perhaps it's an imaginary kitten, puppies, baby. And then to support the cultivation of loving kindness, you can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Allowing yourself to feel this warm-heartedness, this well-wishing. There might be a physical sensation in the heart center, in the chest. Maybe a quiet sense of openness or spaciousness or warmth somewhere in the body. Maybe it's just a sense of potential, openness. Then we can expand our loving kindness to include ourselves. I feel like I have to say, of course we include ourselves. Sometimes we might have the idea that compassion and loving kindness is something that we give only to others. Of course, we include ourselves. So bring into mind either the felt sense of what it feels like to be here at this moment, or an image of yourself. An image of yourself that makes you happy. Some people choose ones from their childhood. Some people, when they're with a group of friends or family. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Again, we can use the bodily sensations as support. In some way, they might be a fountain of loving kindness if we have an experience of warmth or openness. It's perfectly fine if there isn't anything obvious. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. if you think it would be supported, you can dip back into loving kindness for the lovable being. It's a way to get reconnected if you feel like it's running a little dry, or you could just stay with yourself, loving kindness for yourself. There's value in staying, and there's value in going to the lovable being. And then to expand our loving kindness again for a neutral person, somebody we don't know, somebody we don't have a relationship with. Might be somebody in this Zoom call. Might be somebody you see in the neighborhood. And it's helpful if you can choose an individual as opposed to just abstract. There's value in abstract as well, but here to practice with people we don't know, to have some warm-heartedness. So bringing a neutral person to mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. What would it mean to consider this practice as part of the growth of supporting a sense of that you can grow, you can change, you can cultivate qualities? And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. Yeah, so this idea of having a mindset that is an orientation, an underlying belief that supports a sense of growth, supports a sense of movement in a beneficial direction. There are so many ways in which that can support our life, but there might be also areas of our life in which we don't have that sense, or we feel kind of stuck. So is there a way in which we can bring the sense of cultivation that we do here with our meditation practice into all areas of our life? So it can be helpful to talk about these ideas with others. Is it just a way to kind of formulate maybe our own thinking, as well as to hear other people's thoughts and to connect with others? I'm going to put you into small groups, and you can talk about either this. Here we go. Sorry. Zoom is a little bit different today. Felt stymied there for a moment, but so you can talk about either this idea of having a growth mindset, this idea of considering mistakes, quote unquote, as just mile markers on the highway of progress. Or you could just describe a little bit how that meditation practice was for you, how that little meditation session. So you'd be in groups of three or four. And it's really nice to not say absolutely everything you can about a topic at the very beginning, but instead to just say one or two points and then allow it to go to the next person, and then to go to the next person, and then the next person, and then comes back around to you, and maybe you have something new to say. You might surprise yourself with someone that's something that you'll say. So we'll have 12 minutes and we'll have the let's go by birthdays. So if your birthday is in the month of January, you'll go first. And if you're in the month of December, you'll go last in your small group. Okay, have fun. Okay, so welcome back. Welcome back. Does anybody have a comment or a question or something they'd like to share?
Well, Diana, I just want to say, you know, I'm from Boston, but regarding change, I never thought I'd have a chance to be in Panama. We had someone in the group from Panama.
Yes, sure.
And then we had someone talk about change. And then we had someone from California who used to be my neighbor in Weston, Massachusetts. So I would say that my group was all about change, Diana.
Nice. Thank you, Rebecca. And welcome from Boston. That's fantastic.
Yes, and Ram from also from Boston, now California.
Oh. It's late for you back there, isn't it?
Not with a group like that, it's not. I'm energized. I'll let someone else speak.
Well, one of the comments, Diana, we were sharing is the COVID-19 and this everything that we're going through is very painful and not what we planned for many ways. But at the same time, with the prevalence of Zoom and other things, it's given us great opportunity to deepen the practice, extend the practice, connect with people, connect with social causes. And it's about the change is all in the mindset to take advantage of these opportunities and still offer value by positive engagement. None of this, in my regards, is planned 6 months ago. It just happened. There are still more ways I feel I can engage and contribute. I'm constantly looking for them.
Very nice. Thank you, Ram. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Claire.
I started to say, I've sort of felt for quite a while, I work in the tech sector, so that's a little biased, but I felt for ever since it started that what's really happened is that we've just accelerated changes, the virus has accelerated changes that probably were going to happen anyway, in terms of, for example, buying everything online instead of going into retail stores, which is, you know, really affecting New York City hugely because we've always been about retail selling. So it's very visible in New York. But also the way we're communicating all over the world now, which I think is terrific personally, actually. I think Ron sort of did. But I think those things probably would have come anyway. But we've just pushed it faster. We had to. So, and that may not be a bad thing. So...
Thank goodness, right, we had this technology.
Yeah, exactly. But it forced us to use it in a different way. And I think it's pretty cool, actually. Although I'm sorry but so many people have gotten sick because of it. That's the bad side. But, yeah.
Any last quick comment?
I got a question, Diana. What did you name the not growth mindset? Did you call it static?
Fixed.
So I guess I don't understand the mindset in that everything changes. And if your perspective or your thinking doesn't change along with everything else in the world that's changing, you're sort of swimming upstream all the time, aren't you?
Or maybe you're feeling angry that things aren't staying the way they used to be, or something like this, or you're feeling uncomfortable because people are evaluating you and you feel like, oh, this is just what I was dealt and I can't do anything about it, or something like this. Yeah, yeah. So I would like to just close with one small thing, maybe building a little bit on what Ram said, that I work at a university, and this university had decided to take November 3rd off. Everybody has the day off because they really want to encourage people to vote and to help other people vote. So I feel inspired by that. So I'm just going to put a plug in to, you know, November 3rd is a month away. If you need to register to vote, or I don't know, or if you need to start learning about the issues in your region of the where you live or those types of things, just an encouragement to vote. So,
what do you teach?
I teach a Buddhist studies.
Not surprising.
Okay. What school are you at?
I'm at the Institute of Buddhist Studies, which is a small university that's within a consortium of larger ones. So,
in what state?
Here in California, in the Bay Area.
Okay. Oh, I have a good friend who teaches Buddhism at UCLA.
Yeah, I'm up here in the Bay Area. Okay, so I want to respect people's time, but just a warm wish for a good rest of your evening, and I'll unmute us all so that maybe we can say goodbye in a kind of unorganized, raucous way. So goodbye, and thank you.
Thank you, Diana. 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 Thank you, Diana.